who signs off on the business analysis plan? Now, we know that the business analyst is responsible for creating the plan, but is he going to be responsible for signing off? No. It would then need to be signed by the relevant stakeholders or the key stakeholders. That means that the plan has that is made will need to go to the key stakeholders. They will need to review it and they would sign off on the plan. Again, depending on the structure of the organization. That means it could be possible that the finances might be being held by somebody else, but the stakeholders who are working on the project with you might be different, who are responsible for ensuring that the project is working right and for taking the onus of the project from the organization point of view. So in that case, they the people you're reporting to or you're going to share the project details with would sign off on the project. If it is an external project, then the commissioners, the sponsors are anybody who are going to pay you for the project. But like I said, if the project is being paid by the finance, but there are certain people in the operations who are responsible for signing off for the project, they would be signing off on the plan. In an internal project, the responsible person for signing off on the plan can be the project sponsor, the project manager, or the functional head. So if I'm a business analyst or I report to a project manager or a functional head, then they would probably look at the schedule, review it, and sign off on the project. Planning the work enables BAs to foresee and work towards the vision they would like to achieve on the project. So when I've planned the work, I know as a business analyst what is the work that is going to go into developing the project, where do I see this project going, how much work do I estimate in the project, and how everything can be achieved on the project. Business analyst planning techniques. Basic project planning techniques can help business analysts to break down complex project into smaller manageable tasks. Familiarity with project planning techniques can help BAs to identify dependencies and potential risk in their analysis work. That's when in the beginning of this chapter, we spoke about the PMBOK, which is the Project Management Book of Knowledge, which will list down all the possible tools and techniques, all the possible approaches, all the possible methodologies that can be used in the basic project planning. So it will also ensure that the entire project is broken down into smaller and manageable tasks. Also, since if you're aware about the relevant techniques and tools and technologies from the PMBOK, then you can identify the dependencies and the potential risks that could be part of the analysis work or the work that you are doing when it comes to planning of the project. Project planning techniques can also help BAs to set realistic timelines and allocate resources effectively. BAs who have knowledge of project planning are better equipped to communicate with other stakeholders and contribute to the overall success of the project. This is like talking about industry expertise. When I know or I've worked on previous project planning techniques, I can set better timelines. I know how to allocate resources. That means if I know that there are certain activities that cannot be done simultaneously, but one task is dependent on the other, it would be possible for me to identify those dependent tasks. And based on the dependent task, you would be able to push the task or ensure that the task is completed on time to ensure the work does not get hampered and the resources are allocated for the next task accordingly. So also in that case, I know the various, since I've already worked with stakeholders, I know the kind of people I know. It helps me easily identify stakeholders and the different stakeholders. Also, it gives me a very high clarity on how do I communicate with each of these stakeholders and get their contribution so that the project is a overall success. There are three core business analysis and planning techniques borrowed from project management professional. These three techniques work together to build a comprehensive project plan. From a project perspective, having this knowledge can enhance the value that a business analytics brings to the table. And the techniques and steps are: build a work breakdown structure, create a network diagram, create a Gantt chart using the network diagram. So now, like we said, everything, if the BA box has processes and procedures that will work for a business analytics, I now switch on to the PM box, which talks about the various techniques and how can I build a comprehensive project plan. So even if I am a newbie and I have not worked on any project, this will still get me a more organized structure and would help me determine a better schedule and add value to the project by as a business analyst, and I bring my own ideas and thoughts for a successful project to the table. What are the techniques that we spoke about? A work breakdown structure, or the WBS, a network diagram, which is you made using the WBS, and a Gantt chart, which is using the network diagram. So you have to start with building the work breakdown structure. We'll just understand that shortly. And based on that, also how the network diagram would work and how the Gantt chart would be created. Okay, so step one, we speak about building a work breakdown structure. So what does it talk about? The work breakdown structure is a project planning technique that is used to plan out everything that needs to be delivered by the project in terms of phases, deliverables, and tasks. This is considered as a first step in building a project plan or schedule. So this is your basically your work breakdown structure. So what does my work breakdown structure tell me? That this first thing is my project. What I've done is basically broken down the project into various phases. That is phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. That means how much do I plan to complete in phase 1? What do I plan to achieve in phase 2? And finally, what is the plan in phase 3? Now, within those phases also, I have broken down into deliverables. Now, deliverables will be tasks that can be grouped together. If they cannot be grouped together, I would put them under a different deliverable. So, when I talk about, and then I talk about each of these tasks being completed in a certain point of time. So for each of these tasks, I list down the minimum and maximum time that is required to complete the task, which will help me estimate the project better. It will also help me understand which tasks can take place simultaneously and which task will not take place simultaneously. Now let's understand this with proper words and definitions. So what is a phase? A logical grouping of activities, deliverables for planning a project, often aligned with the system's development lifecycle phases, but can differ in agile projects. So it can be either the system development lifecycle or the software development lifecycle. So that's what we said, that this is a phase where deliverable 1 and deliverable 2 would be grouping of activities like the tasks 1 and 2 that are there within each phase. But obviously, depending on the kind of structure and the kind of project I'm working on, some of these elements might change. Deliverable, what is that? A specific output that the project must deliver while being executed. Example include documents, software packages, or tangible results that progress the project to the next stage. Like I said earlier, so if I have a license that's expiring, that could also be one of my tasks. If I also otherwise which might be for whatever agreement you have with the client. So the client would need to pay for that. Or if there is a tool, a technology that needs to be acquired, that is also becomes a task. So you need to understand when that will be available, what is the timeline that the client has promised for the same. And then when will you submit the requirements document? When will you get sign off on the document? When do you submit the project plan? When do you get a sign off on the project plan? So all these together make or give you a progress on the project. Only then can the project move to the next stage. Because if I do not have the license, relevant license or the relevant software, I'm not going to be able to work on the project effectively. Last is the task, which is a set of steps or activity that works towards achieving a deliverable. Several tasks are typically required to deliver an outcome. Task should be broken down to assign to one person or group with specific skills to execute. Usually requires 1 to 5 days worth of work effort. Now again, the task depends from person to person and who are responsible for the project. If it is assigned to a single person, then you're creating a bottleneck where if that person meets with accident or falls sick all of a sudden, and something that you estimated to be completed in 2 days would now require 2 days post the person's back. And if the person is off for a week, that means you're 5 days behind your schedule. So ideally try to have a backup solution. These are again risks that would need to be mitigated for, but this is how it would work. That is what a task is all about. So there is risk within the task also that you need to consider. So now, how do we build the work breakdown structure? First thing is your project name or title. Then I define my project phases. So you want to define the initiation phase, the analysis phase, the design phase, the build phase, the test phase, the implementation phase, the feedback phase, and all of that when it comes to the software development. If it is a strategy planning, you will need to again get the initiation phase, the analysis phase. Within that, what is the design that you're planning to have? How are you, what are the things that would require to build? And all of that. Define your deliverables. Your analysis phase will probably deliver these two deliverables, a business requirements document and a business analysis approach document. So these are the first two things that I would require, which is, have I got the requirements down correctly? Have the requirements been signed off? Have I gathered the requirements correctly? And based on the requirement, what is the approach that I'm planning to take with regards to my business analysis? What is the possible solution that I have? So that becomes a deliverable, and those are documents. Define your task. Each deliverable you have will have to be delivered as a result of a range of different tasks. So am I delivering each task to the person, or am I grouping a certain set of tasks together and giving the deliverable? How does that work? But still within that, I will need to define what is the time required to complete each and every task. So estimation, after outlining all the phases, deliverables, you proceed to assess the time effort required for each end task. So first I'll have to just break down my work. Since I'm working on the work breakdown structure, I will break down my requirement, break down my task into smaller milestones, into smaller tasks, and then I will start saying, okay, task one will require so much time, task two will require so much time, and so on and so forth. Milestones. In a project management, a milestone refers to a critical point or a significant accomplishment that signifies progress in the project. So something like maybe developing the UI would be one such milestone. Launching the project would be another milestone. Or completing the programming, connecting to the database would be another milestone. Again, all these milestones would depend purely on what is a project and how do you want to define a significant accomplishment in the project. That means, like I said, if I have to get 10 lakhs, which is 8 lakhs deficit in 6 months as a balance in my account. And so my first milestone would be getting a job within a month with the kind of pay package. If the pay package is smaller or larger, again, I will need to revisit and change the critical steps. But this would be a critical milestone. So step 2 talks about creating your network diagram using the work breakdown structure or the WBS. The purpose of the network diagram is to determine the critical path of the project. The critical path is the longest sequence of tasks that must be completed on time to ensure the project is completed on schedule. The network diagram shows the sequence and dependencies of the project tasks. It visually represents the flow of the project and the interdependencies between the tasks. By analyzing the network diagram, you can identify potential bottlenecks and critical tasks that need special attention to keep the project on track. So like I mentioned, what is going to happen is, now I have my work breakdown structure with my phases, my deliverables, my task, and my milestones. Now, using a network diagram, what I'm going to do is basically for each and every task, I'm going to estimate a minimum time and a maximum time. The critical path that we are talking about would be the sum of all the maximum times that I need to complete each of my tasks. And when I add them all together, that would be the maximum time or the critical path that is needed to complete the project. Now, if any task within that plan crosses the maximum time, that means I am going over the critical path. That means there is a concern in my project. So you have to ensure that you're maintaining the critical path if you want the project to be completed as per schedule. Also, what it depends, like I said, when I talk about the critical path, I'm just taking the maximum time required to complete each and every task that I have listed in for the execution of my progress. I am not considering the sequence or the dependencies of project tasks. So there will be certain tasks that can be completed with one and another. There would be certain tasks which require the completion of your first task to go on to the second task, or deliverable 1 to go on to deliverable 2. So when I create the network diagram, I would be able to identify all this very clearly. So flow of the project, interdependencies, and again, like I said, simple potential bottlenecks. I do not get the software lessons on time, or someone falls sick and all of that. So what do I do in case something is exceeding its maximum time? So how do I create it? This is what my network diagram was. Now how do I create it? If a task on the project takes longer than planned, the project is running late. That means I need to rechange some of the timelines, change the estimation, and ensure some other tasks that are dependent or after the task that is running late is completed before time, so I'm still staying on the path. Project managers focus on staying within the critical path to keep the project on track. To determine the quickest possible project completion time, identify and add up all the highest minimum duration values for each invisible column on the network diagram. So like I said, when we calculate the critical path, we are considering the maximum time. But if I want to consider the quickest possible time, I would want to use the minimum duration to understand what is the shortest time possible to complete this project, provided everything goes as per schedule. This exercise helps to optimize schedule and identify opportunities for speeding up the project. Staying within the critical path and identify the quickest possible completion time are crucial aspects for the project management, for meeting project deadlines and delivering projects successfully. Because I know both the shortest and the longest time, it can help me plan better. So suppose a task has gone over the longest time, but I know another task which can be completed in a shorter amount of time, which will help me get back on the critical path. So you have a duration which is the minimum time required to complete the project, and the maximum time, which is your critical path. Now, ideally, you always want, as a BA, your project to stay between this critical two points. So, if you are running at the shortest time possible for all the projects, you still know that you have a longer time for the critical path. And in case something does go wrong, it will not mess up your project deadlines. And you would still be able to deliver the project successfully. Last is creating a Gantt chart using the network diagram. So for first, we created the WBS, or the work breakdown structure. Through the work breakdown structure, we created the network diagram. And now with the network diagram, we are going to create a Gantt chart. So what is a Gantt chart? It is not recommended to start with creating a Gantt chart or project schedule as the final step, because you would need to consider the WBS step and the network's diagram step in detail first. It is important to finish the WBS and network before creating the schedule. This step is a combination of WBS phase, deliverable milestone and task, and network diagram sequence and dependencies, with the additional layer of a calendar and resource. So use a Gantt chart, which is also you have in a PMP, what's suggested is MS project, to put tasks, months and resources together electronically. Now, what is exactly a Gantt chart? Now, understand, when I spoke about the work breakdown structure, I divided all my project deliverables, or the entire project, instead of being one big thing, into smaller things. So smaller tasks, tasks together, or I should say smaller phases, broke down the phases into multiple deliverables and put tasks under each of those deliverables. Now that is done. Now the next step that came up was a network diagram, where I said, okay, I need to understand that to get to maybe deliverable 3, task 5, what needs to be completed, or what is the dependency? Can I do deliverable 3 task time when I'm doing deliverable 1, task 4? Can those two be done simultaneously? Can I save some time doing both of those simultaneously? So that becomes a part of my network diagrams. Once I have all of that in place, then I come down to the Gantt chart. So what does the Gantt chart say? Okay, I know that within a deliverable 1, so let's go back to our image. So I know to complete deliverable 1, I have to complete task 1, 2, 3 and 4. So I say task 1 takes 1 day, task 2 and 3 takes 1 day together, maybe task 2 takes a couple of hours, task 3 takes a couple of hours, and task 4 takes 1.5 days. So I have 1 day, I have 1 day, that is 2 days, and I have 1.5 days, which is 3.5 days. So now I start putting this in a Gantt chart with the help of a calendar, saying that if I start this project on the 1st of April, which is a Monday, assuming, then I will complete the first task after 3.5 days, which is the 4th of April, but not the mid of 4th of April. This way that I'm putting on the calendar onto this is what makes it a Gantt chart. So I definitely cannot make a Gantt chart without defining my WBS, without defining my network diagram, is only when I can put it on the Gantt chart. So this I've already explained, where if I see an opportunity where I can run two tasks together to stay on the critical path in case one of the tasks has run beyond time, or even if the task is within the critical path, then I can still see how I can run tasks simultaneously so that I complete the project well before the deadline, which ensures client satisfaction. So summarizing what we learned today, effective management of business analysis requires treating it like a project. Business analysis planning and monitoring process plans and monitors the entire initiative. Planning is crucial and involves various aspects such as approach to business analysis, stakeholder involvement activities, and effort estimation. The approach to business analysis depends on the motivation behind the initiative. Stakeholder involvement is crucial in planning the BA project. Accurately estimating the effort required is an important part of planning the initiative. Thank you.